Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read but study their Bible daily according to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you think. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you do. God just does not want you to be just a hearer of his word, but a doer. James chapter 1. Today is May 24th, 2026. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We would love for you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road. Bible study at 9:30 a.m. Worship at 10:30 a.m. And we assemble again at 5 p.m. for worship service. Wednesday, we come together at 7 p.m. And starting June the 3rd through August the 26th, each Wednesday night, we will have a special series dealing with studies in the book of Hebrews, one chapter each night, 13 weeks, under the theme, Be Encouraged. And we'd love for you to come and listen and study with us as various preachers from throughout the state of Ohio and neighboring regions will come and study with us God's Word. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM, WGNZ AM 1110, or FM 104.3. And you may also listen to us by streaming online at the soulofdayton.com, WGNZ.com. And also you can download the TuneIt app and find us through that various application online. Friends, since the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414, or email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Beloved, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Please keep this in mind, that the way you treat the scriptures is the way the Bible, God's word, is the way you treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you have learned from our earlier studies that the scriptures are the complete, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both the Old and the New Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 2, and Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, not to add to or to take away from God's word. We are to not tamper with the Word of God. God's Word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? You know, today is May 24th. That means that Monday, May 25th, will be Memorial Day in America. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, Memorial Day in the United States is a holiday, the last Monday in May, honoring those who have died while serving in the country's armed forces. This holiday originated during the American Civil War when citizens placed flowers on the graves of those who had been killed in battle. The first national observance was in 1868. After World War I, the name was changed to Memorial Day. And in 1971, it became a federal holiday. The day is observed by visits to cemeteries where flags and other items are placed on the graves of veterans. And there are also parades and ceremonies. In addition, Memorial Day is considered the start of summer in the United States. And so to those families who have loved ones who have given their physical life to protect and to serve this country, we say thank you, and we pray that as you remember your loved ones, that you will have some consolation in knowing that they were serving their country to the best of their ability. Today, we must learn to take the Lord with us everywhere we go. And in this lesson today, we will conclude this study about the character of God's people. Now, by way of just a short recap, just to bring ourselves up to speed from our previous study, we've learned that the whole spectrum of Christian character could be outlined as follows, and the virtues that God's people are to have could be put in proper place with regards to these three key components. And so a person's character is reflected in their, one, behavior toward God. We are to have faith toward him and in him. The Hebrew writer clearly says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Him means God. And so, second, we must have proper behavior toward others. And the Lord would let us know that that proper behavior toward others is that we must love our neighbors as ourselves. Matthew chapter 22, Mark chapter 12. Third is the behavior toward self. Behavior toward self. And that could be summarized by the concept or understanding that we are to have self-control or temperance. Self-control or temperance. Now, as you think about those three broad categories, we are brought to understand that, so let's take, for instance, we start with our added our behavior toward God. And that behavior toward God is evidenced by faith, and so we understand that we are to love the Lord our God. If we're going to have true faith, it emanates because we have heard his word and we truly love him. We will be obedient if we love him. It's evidenced by our being obedient to him. And we prostrate ourselves and we worship him as he has commanded us to do, John 4:24. And then we revere him. We have proper reverence for God. Second, as we said, then there is the behavior toward others. And that behavior toward others is love. Love will cause us to forgive, be ready to have the attitude of forgiveness, because our brothers are going to, and sisters will stumble, and they are going to need our forgiveness when they make correction. And this will happen because we're going to want them to forgive us when we fall and when we transgress, because it's going to occur. There's none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. And so we must be ready to forgive our brother when they repent. We must have kindness. Oh, that we would learn to be kind toward one another. Love is the bond of perfectness, Colossians 3, Paul says. Love is long-suffering, having the proper attitude of patience toward our brother, toward people, and learning to be truthful with each other. Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul told the Galatians, we must speak the truth in love to everyone. And then a person's character is reflected third in their attitude toward self. And we identified this in the context of what the Bible says, to be temperate in all things or to have self-control. We must maintain this attitude by being pure. Paul would tell the church at Crete, as he wrote to Titus, that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. And so purity is what God wants us to have. And that's this challenge that we each face. How to maintain this purity so that we are well-pleasing unto God. Industrious. And industrious means that we are not slothful, but we are ready to work. All throughout the New Testament, we observe this responsibility that God has given to us, that he expects his people to work. Paul said to the church of Thessalonica, if a man does not work, neither should he eat. Work. God has placed us here. Since the Garden of Eden, since God created man, man's responsibility is to work. And so we should not be afraid of work. God told Adam and Eve, tend the garden. We're to work. God created us for work. You read the book of Titus and you see how many times the Holy Spirit talks about the responsibility of Titus to the Christians at Crete, telling them that they are to do good works, maintain good works. We're to have patience. This is the ability to abide under circumstances and to persevere. We don't know how long before we'll be here, before the Lord returns. We don't know how long we are going to live. I've had a chance to talk to some of our older sisters in the congregation, and some are in their 90s. And what a wonderful discussion you can have with these individuals who have been blessed by God to live as long as they are and to maintain and have their faculties about them. In talking with one of these wonderful people, they reminded me, as I was saying, told them how blessed they were to live, to be their age, and they said, you know, it's getting old isn't all that it's cracked up to be, but they thank God that they're able to and that they still are able to think because they have to have had, they need patience to adjust to this new part of who they are. And being the age that they are means that they've had to learn how to let go of some things. And you never think about that at some stage, but they remind you what it means. You know, at their age, they have to learn to let go. And so they're patient and they realize, you know, I can't do everything that I used to do. And as one said, I can't and nor do I try. They've come to understand who they are and where they are at that stage of life. Patience. And they learn to have patience with one another. And we talk about this right attitude towards self, temperance. It also, as we've been talking about in our lessons over the last couple of weeks, God's people must learn to have humility. Peter says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And part of that growth is to learn humility. Because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. We must learn what it means to be humble. Dayton, are you listening? You know, the list of virtues in a Christian's character that are designed, that are designated, that are emphasized by God can be found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Paul, having emphasized that there is a negative part that we strive against, that we should have left behind, and those are the works of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, it says those are things we do not want to be engaged in. But then Paul says that there is that which we are to do, that which we are to be engaged in. And it's set in the context of the fact that we have been made free. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And so God wants us to work to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Notice it's fruit, singular, but this fruit has 9 qualities, and they are identified in 3 ways, inner, and then outward, and then our manifest upward. Graces that fill the inner soul, love, joy, peace. Virtues manifested toward others in our daily walk, long-suffering or patience, gentleness, and goodness, and qualities of personal character before God, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. You see how these are evident in what we have been talking about already. These are the things that God expects of us in our individual lives. Dayton, are you listening? Think about this when we consider who the source of all goodness and virtue and life itself. This very source is Almighty God. Paul, in the third chapter of Romans, verses 29 and 30, Romans chapter 3, he says, "Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, and of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith." One God. And that is the God of creation. God. And because of this, because of what the Bible teaches about the God of creation, we are to love the Lord our God with all of our mind, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. Love is the highest experience of man and the controlling impulse of life. Love. God, and we learn this because God loved us first, and God has told us in his word what love is and how to love. You know, when you think about these concepts, the idea of religion, the idea of morality, all of this emanates from God. Religion, the idea of how to be bound back to God. The moment we suggest religion, we're also realizing and suggesting that man is separated from God. And man is separated from God because man sins. When a person reaches that age of accountability where they make the choice to disobey God's will, sin, and it causes separation, man needs God's religion so that he can be reconciled back to him. Morals come from God. We don't know how to behave correctly except God's word tells us to do so. It's an outgrowth of what God has given in his word. Therefore, man can know how he can be reconciled to God. Man knows how to live right. Man knows how to live in the proper way because God has told him. So Paul says, don't pursue the works of the flesh, but live by the Spirit, Galatians 5, verse 16. And that means in accordance with God's word. We need to have this proper character in our lives. And when one obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are not only to die to the world, but we are to live righteously unto God. Listen to the Apostle Paul in the sixth chapter of Romans. Paul says, Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, "Likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts." God does not want his people giving in to sin. We've died to sin. We obeyed the gospel, and we say we have put it to death. Paul, you know, so he tells us, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God does not want us to do that. And so he wants us to develop a character that is well-pleasing to him, a character that allows us to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, a character that allows the fruit of the Spirit to develop in our lives so that we can show the world who it is to whom we belong. That's why Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through chapter 7, verse 1, that we're not to have fellowship with the world, but we're to be different, distinct, set apart, so that the world could see who it is to whom we belong. Dayton, are you listening? Beloved, it does matter what you think. Beloved, it does matter how you think. God has a plan of redemption, and this plan of redemption requires faith in him, that he is the God of creation, that Jesus is his son, John 8, verse 24. Repentance. God commands all men everywhere to repent. That's a change of mind that's realized by a change of action, Acts 17 and verse 30. Confession of faith, an acknowledgement that, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And by humility and faithful obedience, surrender to water immersion for the forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, 1 Peter 3, verse 21. If we can be assistance to you, reach out to us. Dayton, I hope you have been listening.